Thanks for tuning in to Freedom House Podcast. We're always encouraged to know God is working through this church as we change our world one life at a time. Stay connected by following us on social media at Freedom House OC. We hope you enjoy this message.
I want you to grab your Bibles, and we're going to go to the book of Luke, if you would go with me. Grab your Bibles, go to the book of Luke. If you walked in, they gave you a message outline. If you didn't get one, the usher will pass one to you. What is the message outline? Here at Freedom House Church, we love the teaching of God's Word. It's foundational. And so essentially, the message outline is the scriptures that I'll be reading with you this morning, and also the points to my message. And essentially, I give you my sermon notes, minus, of course, some notes that I have in between there, that you could go home this week and study it in your own devotional time, reflect upon what God would have you do and say based upon what you've heard in the Word of God. The greatest amen we can give God is life change. Amen. And so you grab your Bibles there. Go with me to Luke chapter 1, verse number 26. We're going to read through verse number 27. And as is custom in our church, if you're physically able to, can you stand to your feet for the reading of the Word of God? And I'm going to read this morning Luke chapter 1, verse 26 through 27, the Christmas story, 26 through 37, the Christmas story of when Jesus was announced to Mary. And I pray this morning you would lean in with me and let's allow the Holy Spirit to speak to us and the love of God to enwrap us. Amen. I'm reading the New King James Version. You can follow along with me in the translation in which you have. It'll also be up on the screens, but the Bible reads like this. Verse 26 now says, "Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth." Who sent Gabriel? God. Come on. Tell your neighbor, say, God sent Gabriel. Okay. I want you to see that, okay, that God sends Gabriel. Verse 27, "To a virgin who was betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph. Of the house of David, the virgin's name was Mary. And having come into the house, the angel said to her, 'Rejoice, highly favored one, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women.' But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and considered what manner of greeting this was. Then the angel said to her, 'Don't be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and his name, and you shall call his name," what's his name? Come on, say it again, what's his name? "The name that is above all names, the name by no other man can be saved but through the name of Jesus," which means salvation, Yeshua, salvation. Verse 32, the Bible says, "He will be great," the angel declares, "and he will be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and to his kingdom there will be no end." Then Mary said to the angel, "How can this be? Since I do not know a man," or she's not married, "how can she have a child?" Verse 35, "And the angel answered her and said, 'The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore, also the Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. Now, indeed, Elizabeth, your relative, also has conceived a son in her old age, and now the sixth month of her who was called barren, now she's pregnant." But verse 37, I love it, and here's what I want to talk to you today. The angel says, but don't worry about all that. Here's how you know it's going to happen. And verse 37 says, "For with God, nothing will be impossible." I don't know who that's for this Christmas, but with God, nothing shall be impossible. Some of your translations might say, "With God," the Bible, some of you try to say, "No word of God shall fail." In other words, it always accomplishes what it set out to do. The angel came to Mary's house and gave her this message and solidified it with, "Nothing will be impossible with God." I want to tell you today that no matter where you're at this Christmas, God wants to bring to your home, nothing is impossible with God. I want to miss you today, a message that I've entitled, "Home for Christmas." Home for Christmas, amen. Welcome home, amen. Bow your head and let's pray one more time. Father, we thank you today for your word. We thank you for your Holy Spirit. And we put an extra thank you for sending your son Jesus to die on the cross for our sins. We thank you, Father, that you did not forget us and leave us without, but Lord, you made provision for us to be reconciled back to God. As Romans 5:8 says that while we were yet still sinners, Christ died for the ungodly. And I thank you, Lord, that you made a way where there was no way. And today we are ever so grateful for that sacrifice, the price that you paid. We celebrate you, Jesus, and we thank you for the birth of the Son of God who came into this world. In Jesus' name we pray. Somebody say amen. Give God one more hand clap. You may be seated. Tell someone around you one more time. Say Merry Christmas again. I want to welcome all those who have watched us on our television program, Heart After God, and hear this on podcast. You are in the room with us. Come on now. Christmas. Who loves Christmas? Woo! We all love Christmas. Let me start right here. You know, Christmas can, like I said, can be a lot of things, but the reality is there's a lot that has to happen before something happens. How many know that there's always a story before the story? Okay. Like there are things that got to happen before something actually happens. Like our kids, you know, you bought your kids some gifts or your grandkids some gifts that they really, really wanted. And the truth is they don't know what had to happen for that to happen. And the truth is if they don't really get a revelation of what had to happen for that to happen, then they won't really appreciate what just happened. Like they don't know you had to go to 10 stores just to find that one gift. They didn't know you had to park your car like 3 miles down the road. Come on now. They didn't know that you woke up early on Black Friday trying to get a sale because I'm trying to save money. Come on now. They don't know that you started planning for that toy back when it was 4th of July. You know, the truth is there's a story or what has to happen before something happens. And the truth is if we don't fully get a revelation of what happened in order for something to happen, we will never truly appreciate what just happened. Do you happen to understand what I'm saying? Come on now, all right? Because, you know, we got to know what happened. Come on now. Because if we don't know what happened, then we won't fully understand what happened. And the reality is a lot of times we can fall into the same category during Christmas. That we oftentimes will gather and we'll sing songs and we'll see crosses and we'll see manger scenes. And we're like, thank you, God, for what happened. But if we don't understand what had to happen for what happened, then we won't really appreciate what just happened. And this morning, I want to talk about not just what happened, but I want to talk about what happened. If I could rename my message, it would be hashtag what happened. Come on, somebody. Because if we could understand what happened, then it will change Christmas forever. Because we will view what happened, not just by what happened, but thank you, God, that you made things happen before what happened, and my life is never the same. You see, this is true all over our lives. And the reality is, I get excited about this. You're like, why are you excited with that red coat? Because I'm on fire for God. Okay, that's why. You know, here's the reality. It's true in every area of life that there are things that have to happen before they happen. For example, this year, I'll be married to my wife for 14 years. Come on, somebody. Amen. But how many know that there were some things that had to happen before it happened? Okay, there's a lot that took place in order for that to take place. There was a lot of flowers I had to buy. A lot of dates, you know, before I had to, you know, trick her, I mean, convince her, I mean, win her heart. Come on, somebody, that I was a worthy investment of a yes, I will marry you, you know, but, you know, a lot had to happen. A lot of dates, a lot of flowers, a lot of gifts, a lot of poems, a lot of notes, you know, a lot of sorries. Come on, guys, where you at? Talk to me. I'm sorry. You're right. Come on. You're right. You know, there was a lot that had to happen. There was a lot of compliments, a lot of phone calls. Back then, we'd have no cell phones, we had no text, a lot of pages, you know? Come on now, you know what I mean? Well, you know, you turn it upside down for it to say love. Y'all don't know what I'm talking about. Some of you, you're like, your emoji. We had no emojis, we just had codes. Come on now, pagers, just flip it upside down, love. Hey, you know? 4110, hello, girl, you know what I mean? Come on now. You know what I mean? But, you know, the lot had to happen. And so finally, you know, I had to convince her, you know, for what to happen. And she finally, and don't get me wrong, I don't have to convince her. A lot had to happen. I had to convince her parents. A lot had to happen there. You know, I had to convince her friends. You know, all them friends are. I don't know, girl. I don't know. You know, I don't know if I like him. You know, it's like, I got discernment. No, that's not discernment. You just got a bad attitude. Anyway, just kidding. You know, I'm sorry. You know, like, I don't know if he's good for you. What's up, man? I love Jesus, you know. Anyway, all right. So, you know, I had to convince her friends. And then finally, guess what? Yes. Hallelujah. You know, and now she was Marie Vietkind. Now she's Marie Silva because I put a ring on it. Hey. And so a lot has to happen for that to happen. And the reality is, listen, even what you're sitting in right now, how many know that a lot had to happen for this new facility to happen? There was a lot that had to happen. There was a lot of prayer. There was a lot of fasting. There was a lot of giving, a lot of offerings. There was a lot of late nights. There was a lot of negotiating. There was a lot of engineers. There was a lot of seismic analysis and retrofits and egress and ingress. And man, I'm already giving myself a headache. Come on, talk to me. And contractors. And man, I'm telling you, this is the safest building in the city. I'm telling you right now. If Moab ever shows up, like the bomb, just come here. This place is safe. We got steel all up in this place. It's awesome. Just tell your neighbor, say, you're in a safe place. You're in a safe place. All right. This place is safe. But, you know, a lot had to happen for this to happen. We didn't just one day walk up to the front door and say, hey, throw me the keys. The church is open. And the reality is we see what happens, but there's a lot that had to happen for this to happen. And can I just take a little pause break and let me just preach for a second that what just happened is not the greatest thing that's going to happen, because now this facility is open. The best is yet to come. Y'all better get ready for 2018, because you don't even know what God's about to do with what just happened, because what happened. Oh, I get excited. All right. Thank you, Jesus. Tell your neighbor, say something's about to happen. Come on, say something's about to happen. with what happened, okay? And so this building is proof of yes, this happened, but a lot had to happen before this happened. Context. That's why I love Luke chapter 1. Because Luke chapter 1 is a breakdown of what happened before what happened. Luke is a physician, and Luke, to give us some context of who Luke has actually wrote more words in the New Testament than any other writer. If you were to put word for word, Luke actually wrote more than Paul. Luke, the physician, wrote the book of Luke and also wrote the book of Acts. And Luke was really into telling the story because he was a doctor, because he came from a real, you got a procedure, what goes first. And you know, how many know you want your doctor knowing what goes first? Okay. Like, first you got to put me anesthesia, then start cutting me. Come on, somebody. All right. And so he's a doctor, you know, he's procedure. He knows, well, there's a process to this. First is this, then it's this, and then it's that. And so Luke is a writer. He begins his book not with the birth of Jesus, but he begins his book with what happened before what happened. That's why even in the book of Acts, you go to Acts chapter 2, he talks about how the church got started before the church started. He says, see, what happened was Jesus ascended, and what happened was they got filled with the Holy Ghost in the upper room. Then what happened was they walked out, and then what happened was people got saved, and then welcome to the church. Come on, somebody. All right. And so Luke is into this. And in Luke chapter 1, I love it. I love it because Luke begins to tell us what took place in order for what to take place. And he zeroes in on the girl named Mary. But if you actually go a little bit closer, he zeroes in on a conversation in heaven. Well, this is good. Because Luke doesn't start with Mary in her room. Luke starts in verse 26. I want to show it to you. Can you put it up there for me to team? I love you forever and a day. But in verse 26, Luke says this. Now, on the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was what? Oh, this is good. This is good. Luke gets a download of what was happening in heaven while things were going on earth. And so Luke's like, on the sixth month, God sends the angel Gabriel to go to Mary's house. Now, Luke shows us there was a conversation going on in heaven about Mary's life. Now, what was Mary doing? Verse 27 tells us what Mary was doing. The Bible says here that in verse 27 that the virgin was betrothed to a man named Joseph. What's up, Joe? Just an average Joe. Come on, somebody. Mary was getting ready for a wedding. So watch this picture. Mary's getting ready for a wedding. You know how girls are when they get ready for a wedding. Don't act like you weren't Bridezilla. We prayed for you, though. Come on, somebody. Picking out the linens, the dresses, telling your husband what to wear, your groom. Come on, somebody. I just showed up. What do I wear? What time? I'll be there. Get a haircut? Got it. Come on. Where do I sign? What checks need to be paid? Come on, fellas. Talk to me. Come on, somebody. All right. Leave me hanging up there. All right, whatever. But you know, she was planning a wedding. So here Mary is planning a wedding. She got the caterer. She got the venue. You know, everybody's talking. She's, you know, already doing her photo shoot because you got to do engagement photo shoots. Then you got to do like the week before. Come on, somebody. All right. And so I'm embellishing it a little bit. Just stay with me. Come on, somebody. All right. But you know, she's getting ready for a wedding. So here Mary is getting ready to get married. Get it? Married? Okay, Lord, help me. All right. And heaven is having a conversation about Mary. I want you to see this. Mary is doing all this. And God's like, Gabriel, I want you to go give Mary the download. Here's what I want to show you. Heaven is having a conversation behind her back. Can I tell you right now, in this moment, heaven is having a conversation behind your back? At this moment, we get busy doing this and doing that and what happened and what's going to happen. And God's like, I know you want what happened and what's going to happen. But God's like, I'm in heaven right now having a conversation about you and how I'm going to come into your life and bring about the greatest. Oh, help me, somebody. And take it to a whole nother place. Tell your neighbor, say, God's talking behind your back. Tell him, say, God's talking behind your back. He's talking behind your back. But here's the good thing. It's good stuff. See, maybe you're just used to people always talking the bad stuff behind your back. You're always used to people, the haters, talking about, you know who she is, you know, the gossip train. Come on, somebody. You know, the haters and this and that and all that. Well, here's the good news. You got someone talking good behind your back. You got someone who's planning good things behind your back. You got somebody who's giving you a hope and a future behind your back. This Sunday, let me tell you, Christmas is proof that God was talking all behind your back, but he wasn't just tearing you down. He was building you up and preparing you for such a time as, oh God, as this. Okay, let's just, you know, I know sometimes we're like, yeah, but you know, all the times, you know, I got people on the gossip train. Well, guess what? Have you heard the gospel train? It has good things about you. Yeah, I know people are texting back and forth, just hating on me. Who cares about their text? Read the text, the Bible. There's a text right here. It's a better word. That's talking good things behind your back. God was downloading this to Mary. Now here, I want to tie this all together. I'm going to give you a point here. But you know, here's how this Christmas story all wraps in. Maybe you're sitting here saying, Pastor Josiah, that's great that Gabriel showed up to Mary. But I ain't never had no angel show up to my house. I mean, I got a friend named Angel, but he ain't no angel. Come on, you know. Maybe a fallen angel, but come on, I ain't no angel, you know. You know, angel need prayer. Matter of fact, angel need to get saved. Come on. Maybe you brought angel to church. Maybe your name is angel. This is a sign. Come to the altar. Come on. How about that? Yeah. I don't got no angel. I wish I had. I mean, if an angel showed up to my house, I mean, if I was like watching TV and then the angel, poof, hey, I got a call for you. I'd be like, well, duh, yeah, there's an angel in my living room. I got Pastor Hawk. How can I step into that? Can I tell you something? The word angel in the Greek is the word angelos, which means messenger. The angel was a messenger with the message he carried and delivered to Mary. Can I tell you something? God didn't send you an angel because you're worth more than that. You know what God sent you? Jesus. Oh, God. Oh, Lord. I'm about to run all over this stage. God said, I'm not sending you Gabriel. I'm not sending you Michael. I'm going to send you myself. I'm going to send you me, and I'm going to be born of a virgin. I'm going to walk the earth. I'm going to speak the word of the living God. It's going to be recorded in the eternal word of God. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but no word of God shall ever fail. And I'm going to come to you. I'm going to come into your life, and I'm about to show you that I love you, and I've been talking behind your back before you were ever formed in your mother's womb. I have a purpose, a hope, and a future. I'm going to give you 3 seconds to give God a praise. Christmas. See how three people said, He sent Jesus. Because you're worth it. Now, what does God want us to do with this message that came to us? Point number one, write this down. I only got so much time. I only got about 3 hours left. Stay with me. Just kidding. I know you want to get the snow. We'll get you in the snow. It's cool. All right. Write this down. The message of Christmas is welcome in my home. So, Pastor Josiah, how do I allow this message to change my world? How do I allow it to really grasp what had happened in order for something to happen and for something to happen? Is you got to receive the message of Christmas and welcome it in your home. Christ, you are welcome in my home. Not just Freedom House, but your house, your living room, your bedroom. It got quiet. No, Jesus, you can't come in here. Yeah, he can come in here. Your phone. Oh, he went to the phone. Lord, help me. Is he welcome? Is the message welcome in your car? Or you're like, no, don't touch my radio, Jesus. Don't you touch my stereo. Is he welcome in your conversation? In order for the message to be able to be in effect, it has to be welcome. You see, Mary had a decision. Was she going to welcome this message, or was she going to reject the message that was coming to her so that her life could be forever changed? Tell somebody next to you, say, welcome the message. Tell them to say, welcome the message. The angel said to her, watch this now, verse 28. When the messenger came with the message, the Bible says that the messenger, the angel said, rejoice, highly favored one, the Lord is with you. You are blessed among women. That word rejoice is the Greek word here. I did a word study on it, but it's the Greek word kario, and it literally means to praise God. It means to celebrate. So when the angel came, he came with the message. He says, rejoice, or praise God, or hail. He was saying, this message I bring to you right now is a message of joy and should be received with, I can't wait to let this message loose in my family, in my life, in my home, in my kitchen, on my dinner table, when I go to bed at night, when I wake up in the morning, when I pray with my children, when I pray with my grandchildren, when we get together for the Christmas, before we do the gifts. Jesus, you are welcome in this home. And let me tell you, when you welcome the message in your home, there is a supernatural joy that is going to come from heaven that cannot come from nothing on earth, but only from the funnel of God. Someone say, joy. You see, the world can give you pleasure, but it cannot give you joy. Pleasure lasts only for a minute, but joy goes on for eternity. Oh, y'all better give God a clap for that. Amen. Rejoice. She said, rejoice, over this message, because this message that has come to you is a message that is powerful. You see, Jesus told them that because he wanted them to understand. And I want to read you this verse 2, John chapter 20 and verse 29. You know, the Bible says this because maybe again, going back to, well, I haven't seen Jesus and I haven't seen an angel, Pastor. How can I receive this message? The scripture says, then Jesus told him, because you have seen me, you believed. But blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. Maybe you never seen that, but I want to tell you, you are blessed because you believe without having to see. Someone say, I walk by faith and not by sight. The Bible says there is a special blessing for you, for those that say, God, I still follow you. I know an angel hasn't poured my coffee, but I still serve God because his word is true. Show me an angel. It's okay, God. You ain't got to show me an angel. You came down. You died on a cross. You already showed me all you need to show me. I am now going to show you how much I love you and how much I want to please God. Point number 2, write this down. I got to move quick. Let me get the music team up here because I want to pray for some people. Write this down. How do I bring Christmas home? We got to believe that miracles still happen when we believe. Say, miracles still happen when I believe. You see, this Savior that we serve requires only one thing of his people: believe. He doesn't require you to have to die on the same cross he died. He doesn't require you to have to, you know, pay for all your sins. He doesn't require you, but he simply says, if you believe in me, if you believe in your heart that he rose from the dead, that you shall be saved, that if you confess Jesus Christ as Lord, that the thing that is required of us, God says, I simply ask you to believe in me, to say, God, I know you're real. I know that this message that you brought on this earth, that when you were born of a virgin, that was recorded by the disciples, that was written upon history, that it is true, and I give my life to it, not because I simply hope that it's true, but I know that it's true, and I walk it out. I welcome the message, and I know that when I welcome it, it comes into my life, and miracles are going to take place. Come on, does the church of God still believe that God does miracles? Come on, does a grandma still believe God does miracles? Does a grandpa believe that God can do miracles to the second, third, and fourth generation? We got to believe this, because if there's anything our generation needs, it needs a fresh move of God. The miraculous move of God, not the move of man, the move of God. A pure move of the Holy Spirit, a supernatural miracle of love, miracle of joy, miracle of purpose, miracle of healing, miracles. And I love this Christmas story because when the angel comes, and I want to show you this here, I want you to see Mary's reaction when the angel said all this to her. Watch this now. The Bible says here in verse 29, it says, but when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying. Like, well, this message is kind of do-do-do-do-do-do. And consider what manner of greeting is this. I'm supposed to get married. Don't you understand? I got plans, and you want to tell me all about the God wants to do all this? I don't remember signing up for this. Mary's like, whoa, oh, whoa, 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 time out. 30-second time out here. I don't remember answering that altar call. Who wants to have the Son of God? Me, you know. She's like, I have plans. I got dreams. I got things. I got a caterer booked, and I ain't going, you know, I send invitations out. Come on, somebody. I'm a little busy at the moment. But God interrupts her life. And I want you to see that God doesn't wait for Mary to have the time. God comes into Mary's life to get her to be a part of his plan and to be for such a time as this. And I feel like telling somebody that God maybe has interrupted. Have you ever felt like God interrupts your life sometimes? You like got plans and God's like, you're like, oh man. God will interrupt your life. He'll tell you. You thought you were going to go somewhere else and God will interrupt your life. Said, no, I want you to go to church on Sunday. You're like, oh man. Come on now. Or you're like, yay, smile. Come on now. God will interrupt your life. You know, you thought you're going to do one thing, and God will tell you, I want you to go pray for that person. I want you to go serve. I want you to give. I want you to help that homeless person. He'll put a tug in your spirit. Or he'll tell you, I don't want you to go watch the game tonight. I want you to spend time with your children. And you're like, no, the game, Lord. He will interrupt your life. He will interrupt you and say, no, I want you to go say sorry to your spouse. No, they didn't come say sorry to me. Lord, didn't you see what happened? Come on. He'll interrupt you. Say, no, go back in there. He'll interrupt your life and tell you, I know you had plans to go do this, but I want you to give your life to me, and I'm going to show you things you have never seen before. He will interrupt your life. But I want to tell you, that interruption is not an inconvenience. It's not to inconvenience you. That interruption is to get you back onto your destiny purpose and your destiny plan. God says, before you lose yourself into what I didn't call you to do, I'm going to call you back to me, and I'm going to unfold my purpose and my plan in your life. Someone shout amen. He'll interrupt you. And so he tells Mary, nope, you're going to do this, and you'll give birth to the Lord, and this is the word of God for you, and here you go, and it's going to come in your life, and all this stuff. And she's like, whoa, that's heavy. And God will speak heavy things into your life. And if you allow me to loosely use this analogy to tie us all into the scripture and life application it, but the truth is we are all like Mary in the sense that we all are pregnant with Christ. Tell your neighbor, say, I'm pregnant. Careful, though. Not physically, but the scripture says that we who are born again have Christ in us. Okay. We all are like Mary in the sense that we have Christ in us, like Mary had Christ in her. The Bible actually says in Peter that the seed, the incorrupt, we are all born again of the incorruptible seed of the word of Christ, God that dwells in our hearts. We all have Jesus in our spirit. And can I tell you, when you have Jesus in your life, talk to me, people that have Jesus in your heart, you will feel the kicks. You'll be like, I'm going to go this way. You'll be like, no, we're not. Oh, what's going on in me? What's wrong with you? Give me a second. You'll try to walk and be like, I can't do that because you don't understand. I got something in me that won't let me just do what I thought I could do and input what I thought, because there's something in me that I gotta give birth to that is gonna change my future, that is gonna bring a joy, a peace, a purpose, an anointing, a life change, a world change. Oh, somebody clap like you got something inside of you that God put in you. You didn't have, oh, come, you couldn't put it in there. God came in. And I gotta let it out. Give God a 3-second praise if you got something inside of you that came from Him. Tell 4 people, say, I got something inside of me. Tell them, there's something inside of me. I'm born again. You're gonna do this, Mary? Mary's like, okay. I love Mary's reaction because I think we all can relate. All of us. Some will say all of us. Watch verse 34. This is good. Let me preach the text. Verse 34. Then Mary said to the angel, let's all read this together, 1, 2, and 3. How? Stop right there. This is proof that this is why whenever you tell your wife something or women something, they're always going to respond with, and how are you going to plan on doing that? My wife tells me all the time, babe, we're going to do this. And how do you plan on doing that? This is proof, because Mary was like, there's an angel up in her house. She's like, and how do you plan on doing that? I don't care if you're Gabriel. I don't care if you came from heaven. And how you plan on doing that? Come on, somebody. Right there. There it is. Right there. And she did that too. Come on. Come on, somebody. She don't care. Angels, all that stuff. And how are we going to do this? You know? Show me. But if I could say, this is such a true human reaction. Let's just all be real for a second here, okay? I know we get excited. I get fired up. But the truth is, church doesn't, you know, living for Christ doesn't end in church. It starts when you walk out the doors. Come on, somebody. Come on, somebody. And the reality is, Christ doesn't just want us to experience Christmas at Freedom House. God wants Christmas to come to your, oh, there it is. Because guess where this conversation is happening? It's not happening in church. It's happening in her house. She's at home watching the game. And then, what? And that's how God speaks to you and I. He'll talk to you when you're at the table by yourself and your spouse is in the other room. And he'll say, I put something in you. And it's going to be great. Sometimes our natural response is, but how, God? You see, God is such an awesome God that before he told Mary so much how would happen, he told her what would happen. The God we serve will always give you a picture of what could happen. Because he wants to give you a picture of what the things can happen in your home. That's why God will show you. Listen to me now. He will show you how your marriage can be healed. You'd be like, how's that going to happen? He'll show you how you can restore that relationship with the child you haven't talked to in 20 years. And you're like, okay, Lord, please, por favor. He will show you how you can be healed of cancer, how you can be healed of that mental, health. He'll show you how you don't have to take Xanax anymore. He will show you how you don't have to be addicted anymore. He will show you. And oftentimes we're like, but how is that going to happen, God? Like, I don't know how that can possibly happen, because you don't know my life, God. You don't know my family. You don't know my in-laws, Lord. You don't know my kids. I'm telling you, I saw little horns come out. I thought I saw horns, Lord. I thought I did. You'll say, I don't know how my grandkids could change, and you will blame yourself. Maybe it's my fault because I did this to my son, and now my grandkids are messed up. And you'll say, I don't know how, God, I can ever restore my grandkids to be with God anymore. And you will beat yourself up, and our response will always want to be during the times of miracles, God, how? But the angel had a word for Mary, and I believe that the Lord has a word for you today. Because verse 37, oh Lord, now I feel like preaching. In verse 37, the angel wasn't like, you know, you're right, Mary, let me go back to God because I don't know how this is going to happen. Hold up. But in verse 37, the angel says this, and I pray this speaks into some spirit, someone's heart, somebody's marriage, somebody's life, somebody's family, somebody's home, somebody's dinner table, somebody's past, somebody's future, somebody's spirit, somebody's soul, somebody's mind. Oh God, I don't know. But the angel said this, Mary, for with God, nothing shall be impossible. Nothing is going to be. He says, Mary, it's not your strength that's going to do it. It's God that's going to do the miracle through your life. If you would let him and you would obey him and you would walk with him. Somebody give God a praise. Like nothing shall be impossible with God.
Thanks for tuning in. We pray you are encouraged by this message. Show your support by sharing your favorite podcast on social media. See you next week.